Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be speaking to you this morning on the second Sunday of Advent. Advent, as you all know, means coming. It's a time of preparation for the coming of Jesus, and I would encourage you to read the story in Luke's Gospel after you've listened to this. I'm hoping that as you read, there might be some things that you want to look out for. Let me ask you a question. When do you feel vulnerable? Perhaps when you have to take a risk or start a difficult conversation. Maybe when someone you love is in a difficult situation, one that's beyond your control. Or when the future's uncertain. Perhaps when you try something new, like starting a new job. Maybe the thought of spending time with lots of relatives leaves you feeling emotionally exposed this Christmas. We all have feelings of vulnerability, yet society conditions us to hide or ignore and suppress them. We act as if we're in control because we don't like to feel vulnerable and exposed. But what if vulnerability is actually a strength? I felt particularly vulnerable recently, having unplanned surgery, putting myself in the hands of doctors and nurses whom I've not met before, uncertain of the outcome, exposed, defenceless. It took me back to the year that a friend and I sat next to the manger in our Christmas display, silently contemplating the tiny, vulnerable baby Jesus. It's incomprehensible that God should put himself in a place of extreme vulnerability, complete reliance on humanity. Born in a cultural group ruled unjustly by another, reliant on a materially poor, scorned teenage mum. As I put my life into the hands of others, so God did the same 2,000 years ago. My doctors and nurses brought healing, yet humanity crucified Jesus. I wonder, did Jesus feel in control, or did he experience that same feeling of vulnerability as we do? What do you think? Have God's people ever been in control? The Israelites were slaves for 400 years before wandering in the desert for another 40, totally reliant on God for their welfare. Later, oppressed by the Roman authorities, and the early church, standing up for the vulnerable, were themselves persecuted. Surely God's people should be strong and in control, not seemingly weak and defenceless. What if vulnerability is actually a strength? There's so much vulnerability in the Christmas story too. Here's a snapshot. Perhaps, as I say, you could read the accounts in Luke and Matthew and find some more. Zechariah, in Luke 1, was serving in the temple. He was gripped with fear and made mute. Joseph, accepting a pregnant Mary as his wife, what faith to believe the child was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the uncertain journey to Bethlehem. And they escaped to Egypt in fear of Herod. There's plenty of vulnerability there. Mary. In Luke, the angel said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured." But I'm not surprised she felt greatly troubled and vulnerable and exposed. But do note, it says in verse 28, the Lord was with her. And I think that's the key. God did not abandon her. And by verse 48, she sings, "He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Despite her vulnerable state, Mary had an attitude of gratitude. The Christian author and researcher Brené Brown writes in her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, that our tolerance and vulnerability dictates how joyful a life we lead. I'll say that again. Our tolerance for vulnerability dictates how joyful a life we lead. As we look to Jesus, it wasn't just his birth that was consumed by vulnerability. His own life is shot through with vulnerability, and he spent time with those who were vulnerable too. In Isaiah 42:3 and in Matthew 12:20, we read that Jesus' gentleness brings healing to the vulnerable. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. The words of a song I used to sing say, "He chose the weak to shame the strong." Why then do we expect a place of privilege, of strength and power, that people listen to us, come to us, come to church? Why do we have to be the ones running events? What if we assumed the place of vulnerability and went where others have power, just as Jesus did? Ethan and I went to a Macmillan coffee morning in Ormsby a couple of months ago, and I've been wondering since what it would mean to those who worked hard to put it on if Light of Life had turned up en masse and contributed to the raffle, bought the cakes and supported it, rather than us being the ones to put on events for others. How would that affect our community? We are to be imitators of Christ, who brings healing from a place of his own vulnerability. Paul writes that Jesus' power is made perfect in his weakness. This is the paradoxical nature of God. It's abundant in the Bible. The first shall be last, the weak made strong. Blessed are the persecuted, life through death. Humanity still struggles with vulnerability, with discomfort and self-doubt. Yet we like to look good, be in control, to perform well, to please, to earn approval. So we wrongly think of vulnerability as shameful and put on masks to disguise it. Yet vulnerability is actually the source of love, of joy, belonging and empathy. Just think about it, there's no empathy without shared vulnerability. Vulnerability is not weakness, it's rather an accurate measure of courage. If you're one of those who's dusted off your instrument today and chosen to risk emotional exposure and yet done it anyway, you have been courageous. Or if you're a Strictly fan or a Bake Off watcher, those contestants are owning their vulnerability, exposing themselves to risk and failure and discomfort, yet courageous enough to do it anyway. I think we see and admire vulnerability in others, yet in ourselves we see vulnerability as weakness, not bravery. Brown writes in her book Daring Greatly, "Yes, we are totally exposed when we feel vulnerable. Yes, we are in the torture chamber that we call uncertainty. And yes, we are taking a huge emotional risk when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. But there's no equation where taking risks, braving uncertainty and opening ourselves up to emotional exposure equals weakness. The perception that vulnerability equals weakness is a dangerous myth. Vulnerability is a feeling, and a feeling's not weakness or failure. But we associate it with dark emotions like shame and grief and disappointment. But it is the place of love and joy and belonging and courage and empathy, accountability, authenticity. If we want greater clarity in our purpose or deeper and more meaningful spiritual lives," she writes, "vulnerability is the path." The word vulnerability means to be wounded or capable of being wounded. Well, if we compare that to the word weakness, which is the inability to withstand attack or wounding. How many of us struggle with vulnerability because we see it as a weakness? But what if vulnerability were actually a strength? We love seeing raw truth and vulnerability in others. If we want to grow deeper as a community of believers together, we need to open ourselves up to being vulnerable. Think of the baptismal testimonies you've heard. We so value hearing others' stories. Their vulnerability is courageous. And vulnerability isn't a choice. If you choose not to open yourself up to vulnerability, you've still made a choice. But those who do, who do open themselves up know that it grows love and joy, as it did in Mary, connection and community and trust. God is community, his church is community, and we have been created with the basic human need of connection. We need to feel seen and heard and valued. Belonging is an innate human desire. We long to be part of something larger than us. And sadly, we often try to do this by fitting in with a crowd and seeking approval, but that's actually a barrier. True belonging happens when we present our authentic, imperfect selves. Brown likens these small moments of connection when we share our vulnerabilities with each other as fairy lights. One on its own isn't anything remarkable, yet when we all share those tiny lights connected together are beautiful and they light up dark places. Maybe when you see some fairy lights this season, that might remind you the importance of sharing your vulnerabilities, not hiding them or covering them over. Because once shared, once vulnerability is exposed to the light, it has no power over us. And we discover that we're still loved for the real and authentic people we are, not the image that we're trying to portray. And rather beautifully, vulnerability begets vulnerability. Courage is contagious. In Advent, as we look forward to the coming of Jesus as a baby, we're reminded that one day God's realm of love will engulf all his creation. Heaven and earth will be joined. But for now, as John writes in his gospel, based on the words in Genesis when God said, "Let there be light," that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. This light is life. There's still darkness now, but one day that will be extinguished. When we allow ourselves to be deeply seen by others, when we allow God to fully know us, it nurtures a connection. Far from weakness, it's strength, courage, truth, where his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Being open to the Holy Spirit, offering all of ourselves, requires us to be vulnerable. What if vulnerability is actually a strength? The courage to be vulnerable transforms the way we live. It deepens spirituality and connection with God and each other. So in this Advent season, my prayer is that we will all learn to embrace our vulnerabilities and to find the power and joy within them. Where do you feel vulnerable? Just as Jesus was always found in the places of vulnerability, this, your vulnerability, is the place where God longs to meet with you. As the angel said to Mary, "Do not fear, the Lord is with you." May you know the hope that by facing your vulnerabilities, God uses and transforms them into light and life. Amen.